So my message today is called Worth the Wait. Worth the Wait. I'm glad that a couple people are excited about it. That's great. Thank you. Yes, you just blessed me. Worth the Wait. We were like, no, we don't like waiting. You know, this is the microwave generation. We want things now. But obviously, when we talk about waiting, we're thinking about waiting for Jesus to return. That in itself is worth the wait. I'm telling you, we win, the end of the book. But there's also a worth in the waiting in that in the process. There's something that happens in the process of waiting that's worth it. It's not just the end result that we're looking for, because many of us live from end result to end result, from event to event. If I could only get to that vacation, then I'll be happy. If I can only get married, then I'll be happy. If I could only have this president come into office, I'll be happy. If I could only, you know, this and that, you know, happen, then I'll be happy. And then we miss out on the process. On the process. Hallelujah. So I believe there's a showdown going on in America. There's a showdown, and God is going to show himself strong on behalf of his people. I'm telling you, hallelujah. And we didn't know it was going to be a political showdown like what we just saw. We thought it would end Lane on Tuesday, you know, like it did, you know, 4 years ago. But rather, it has fallen to full gridlock and molasses, I would call it. It's just, where is it going? And obviously, a lot of people are kind of happy. And a lot of people are kind of sad, but nobody's like full anything because nobody really knows what's going on, right? Everybody's waiting. I would say there's such a huge division. And we even goes back into candidates or political ideologies, fully believe that the other side winning will fundamentally change the course of our nation. Everybody kind of feels that, hey, if it happens. Most of us had an expected outcome. But know that with the help of the media, there is a collective frustration, anxiety, and I would say for even some depression as we wait for all this to unravel. It's difficult. If you remember, when Trump won 4 years ago, there was some emotional demonstrations, weren't there? You know, some people were very mean about it, and they were like, ha ha, you know, laughing, all these people crying because they didn't get what they wanted. So I want to start with Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. It says this, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But a dream, another version says, but a longing fulfilled is what? A tree of life. Hallelujah. When that happens, that what you were longing for, it is a tree of life given. So post-election, I want to encourage all of you. Now, some of you are waiting, not necessarily. Maybe you're like, I don't care about the election. I moved on. But you have stuff that's going on in your life that you're waiting for. And I want to tell you, if you set your eyes on Jesus, it's worth the wait. It's worth the process. Amen. So the point number one I want to make today is God is in control. As simple as that. I know you probably sang it, you've said it. But I want you to know it. I want you to believe it and have it down in, deep in your spirit. Because sometimes we're so focused and invested in the moment. And last week we were talking about stresses and how some people live in the past. You know, in their old life, their regrets. Coulda, shoulda, woulda. Some people live in the future. It's like, oh, when I have this, when I have that, when I get there, then everything will be great. And then some people just live in a fantasy world, right? Like Walter Mitty. You know, but ultimately they're all stressed out because they're not living in the now. Well, some of us are so living in the now that it's kind of hard to move past the now. But I want to tell you something. There's only one who can operate and fully control the past, the present, and the future, and that's God. That's Jesus. You cannot do it. You need to release. That's one of our biggest problems. We try to control things that God never called us to try to control. You can only take care of those areas. That's what Jesus says. Don't worry about tomorrow. Just every day will bring its own evils and toils. Just worry about today. Enjoy your family. Take care of your wife, your children, you know. Do the things that God has called you to do. Just get busy doing that. Everything else, God will work out. Yes, we got to pray. We got to seek God. But ultimately, you know, there's so much life to live. And like I said, he's got a remnant of people that he's going to bless and protect all the way through. He's always going to promote you like he did with Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, and you can just go down the line like Esther and Mordecai, all those people in the captivity. It's God has got you. Look at what Revelation 1:8 says. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty. That means the All-Powerful. That means that nothing's outside of my reach or my power. Hallelujah. He has seen the end from the beginning and has woven his master plan to bless you, to bless you and I in it. Nothing is wasted and nothing is by chance in the kingdom of God. Nothing is wasted. Like I said, the prayer is, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God is sitting on his throne and he's just like calm, cool, and collected. So when you are not calm, cool, and collected, that means that you have not come into agreement with heaven. So if God is not surprised or in awe or anxious or depressed, well, then why should we be? And so that's what we talk about, coming in alignment with the Word. What are the realities of heaven? And there's so many things that stem from that. There's no sickness in heaven, and you know there's no strife. There's just happiness up there. So we can connect with that joy and bring it into earth. All things work for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Come on, everybody say, all things. All things. In the Greek, the word all means all. Okay, it's just as simple as that. Yeah. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to laugh today. Come on. In Psalm chapter 2 says that God laughs at his enemies. It's like, nice try, guys. You think you can live this world without me? Ain't gonna happen. He says he laughs. He says he scoffs at them, says in Psalms chapter 2. So it's okay. It's okay to laugh. Laughter, you know, is medicine to the bones. So the situation with the government did not catch Gad by surprise. He knew it all along. He revealed what was necessary to his prophets because he doesn't reveal the whole thing. Now, all of us, as Pastor Jim would like to say, you know, want us him to give us 300 yards ahead, spotlight. Okay, that's where you're going, right? And God's like, no, I'm only going to give you a little bit of light for that next step. He's like, you know, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You take a step and it illuminates the next step. You take another step and illuminates the next step. But we all wish he would just say, okay, God, what's going to happen? January 20, just tell us now. Yeah. You know, but no, God's like, hang on. I got this. I will reveal to my prophets what I think is necessary, and what I don't think is necessary, I won't release. But his plan is still in effect. And what he planned before 2020 hasn't been altered whatsoever. He's still on the throne. He's always 100 chess moves ahead of the enemy. You need to know he is good to go. If you're feeling distress, then you need to be made perfect in him. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear has to do with torment. That's what the scripture says. But perfect love casts out fear. Imagine like a baby in the arms of the daddy or the mommy is just like, I don't care what's going on. Life is good right here. That's how you need to be. They can't walk. They can't take care of themselves. They don't know where the next meal is coming. But something happens when you're fully contented in the arms of your Father. That's how we need to be. I did get pretty anxious, I must be honest, on Tuesday and Wednesday. I mean, I was following the news. I got into reactionary mode. I'm going to sit back, watch the news. Okay, all right, we got this. It's going to get better. All right, God, what's going on? I need to pray in the spirit now. It's like I'm going to switch to Twitter. You know, because at least on Twitter I can choose who I follow, right? And I'm like, what is going on? And so by the time Wednesday, you know, morning and Wednesday afternoon rolled around, I was in fully anxious, stressed out mode. I was like, what's going on? And so I knew that the only answer was for me to go into the presence of God. So God can remind me, son, I got this. And so I want to tell you, my hope was deferred and my heart was sick. But then I decided I am only going to intake worship, the Word, trusted prophetic voices, fellowship with other faith-filled believers, and I'm going to pray. Hallelujah. And something happened. It hasn't been the same since then. Woo, Wednesday night was powerful. You know, the pre-service prayer just broke something off of people. And then the service just, we just lingered into, it was such a sense of contentment. It's like, you know, que sera, sera, they say, you know, whatever will be, but in God, you know, it's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. In the process, God is doing something where He's digging deep into us. The waiting process creates depth, spiritual depth in us. Do you know that the larger a skyscraper is, the deeper its foundation? A skyscraper, because of its nature, cannot be built onto sand or clay. They have to tunnel down until they hit solid rock. God is building you into a spiritual skyscraper. And the deeper God wants to take you, the deeper He needs to dig into your life. And He does that through the waiting processes. Some people will call it the wilderness experience. It has got to be built on the solid rock. We sang that today. Some of us have had our faith on shaky ground, and He's using these events to shape our faith. Here's another analogy. Think of it as a tree. God has called each one of us, and it's funny, the analogy of people being trees is all over the Scripture. You know, blessed are those, right? That trust, you know, that are not sit in the council of the ungodly. And it says they will be like trees planted by the river, right? Given the fruit in season, the leaf is not withered. You see that, it's in Psalm 1, you see it in Ezekiel 47, you see it in Revelation, the tree of life. People that are planted, you know, but He's called us to provide shade, to provide fruit and branches for birds to nest, right? But God allows droughts to come and strong winds to develop our root systems. Have you ever heard of the biosphere up in Tucson? The biosphere? Well, they noticed that the trees kept falling over in the biosphere. They said, what's going on with the trees? Well, there was one element missing in the biosphere, wind. There was no resistance. How can the trees develop deep root systems if they don't have the things that antagonize against them? Your roots have to keep spreading until they tap into the flowing underground rivers of God. Some of us have a very superficial, if I can even say flaky, faith. All right? And I say it with the fear of the Lord because I know my faith needs to keep growing. This is the child grew in, what does it say? In stature, in faith, and it's in favor with God and men. We need to continue to grow. So God is doing something in your life through these waiting periods where He's making you go deeper. So don't fight it. Run to Him. Run to Him. And say, God, and just declare the Word of God over your life, over your family. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness. Another translation says righteousness, of peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So if you're not living a life of righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, you're not connecting, you know, your roots to Jesus. You don't have your foundation solidly built on the solid rock, you know, that is Jesus Christ. So you need to be very careful what you're intaking these days. You need to be very careful. The enemy is a liar. He's a flatterer. He's a deceiver. He's cunning. He's been doing this a long time. He knows how to deceive people. We only live for a very short time. And he's like, but he's already applied the same lies, the same tricks, the same schemes to people over and over, generation after generation. And we just don't learn. We're not good at learning from the previous generations. We got to learn, you know, for ourselves. But I'm telling you, he's a liar. Daniel 11:32 says, but the people who know their God... I'm just going to focus on the last part of the verse. But the people who know their God will be strong and will resist them. He is a flatterer. You know, he lies to, you know, to get you to sin. But I'm telling you, the people who know who God is, they're going to be strong and resist them. Another translation says they will do great exploits. They will do great things. Hallelujah. So do not be in reactionary mode in these days. And point number two, this is a great thing, people. Something has happened in America. The church is no longer in apathy. The church is no longer in apathy. Oh, we're just going to let Caesar do what Caesar does, and we're going to let Jesus do what Jesus does, right? No. We waited on the government, and things began to creep in into our nation. Indoctrination of our children through school systems. All the way from, you know, elementary school, actually even earlier than that, kindergarten, all the way through, you know, universities and postgraduate degrees. I'm telling you, secularists and Marxists, you know, people that hate God, have infiltrated all these people, and they're telling your children every day that God does not exist, and that all these other forms of government are better. And I'm telling you, it is bad. He has infiltrated every public arena, and he's trying to remove every trace, listen, of the undeniable fact that America was founded by Christians and for the propagation of the gospel. Some of you don't believe this. The greatest granite structure in the world is a hidden monument in Plymouth. I don't know how many of you know that. A lot of people, they've actually have one of the most amazing monuments to faith in the birth and origins of America in a neighborhood in Massachusetts, and people don't even know it's there. But it's got the recipe for our nation. And I want to give this to you as homework. I need everybody to look up when you live here. Okay, it's called the National Monument to the Forefathers. National Monument to the Forefathers. It was dedicated in 1889. And it provides the foundation and the values of America since its inception. And let me tell you something. Don't just go to Wikipedia. Okay? Come on, people. Don't just go to Wikipedia. Where are my teachers at? I know this one teacher, he created his own Wikipedia entry to test his students and told them, don't go to Wikipedia. And then he had one student pretty much just copy-paste what was in that fake entry that the teacher had created. And he said, did you get it from Wikipedia? Oh, no, I did my research. Are you sure? I'm giving you a chance to fess up. No, I did it. I was like, so look at the creator of this Wikipedia page. I was like, oh, come on. So there is some good stuff in there, but you got to be careful what's there. It's got to be source, you know. But anyway, just look for this National Monument to the Forefathers, okay? Or you can go to YouTube. I mean, I don't love you like YouTube. Find Kirk Cameron's 15-minute video on it. There's a 15-minute video by Kirk Cameron. The actor, yes, he's a Christian. Yes, okay, you guys didn't know that. Show it to your children. Show it to your children. Romans 13, verses 11 through 14, and says, and do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. I'm saying the church is no longer in apathy. You know, God is awakening the church. It says, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. This is the time to walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say that again, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody in this room and in America needs to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. This is our special times, people. The church is awakened. Maybe there's still I'm talking about the church, the capital C church, the church overall in America, say, you know what, we need to step into this. We need to lean into this with prayer, with holiness, and we need to influence our nation. Otherwise, we're going to lose the republic. We're going to lose the republic if we don't do something. But the good thing is the church is no longer in apathy. God has awakened his church one by one. The sleeping giant is being awakened. The night is over. And that's when the thieves usually come in to steal, right? It says the night is over. And the thief has come in to steal all through the night. But now it is daytime. God is shining his light. He's shining his light in your heart and my heart. He's calling us to live a life of righteousness, making the most of each day, redeeming the time, making no provision for the flesh, putting on Jesus every day as we look to his return. Thank you, Pastor. At least one person is in agreement, and somebody in the back over there too. All right. I'm preaching it, as Pastor Whalen would say, better than you're letting me know. All right? I know I am. He is shining His light in the darkness. He's exposing things done in secret, shameful schemes led by Satan and carried out by those who are His sons. Those that are full of greed and thirsty for power, that is going to come out to the light. The Bible says, in the words of Jesus, Luke 8:17, for all that is secret will eventually be brought into the open. And everything that is concealed will be brought to light and made known to all. Come on. That's why we need to be accountable, people. But the word does say the judgment always begins in the house of God. God has got a clean house first. He's got to deal with you and me. Isn't it interesting that God is getting ready to expose a lot of things in America? The corruption at all levels. It's worse than we thought. And the media in Hollywood and the CIA and pedophilia rings, they're all connected. It's dark. But God is going to expose it because His people lean in. But let me tell you something. He's also judging His church for those that won't repent. Those that have been given warnings. Just this year, three mighty men of God have fallen off. At least that I know of. I'm not going to mention names. A famous pastor, this very week, was fired because of infidelity. Now the pastor is being sued, and infidelity and other things are involved. And another famous man of God who just died, there's been all these things that have come out after his died, the stuff that he was involved in. God is starting His judgment and exposure, but He's got to start with us first. So that's why, run to the light. Don't try to conceal it. The Psalm says, you know, while I kept my sin, man, I was drawing away. I was just withering and being tormented. You know what? The Bible says that we should confess our sins one to another. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. You know, find somebody and you say, this is what I'm struggling with. Do not live in sin. Do not keep it occult. Don't say, God will never find out. Because I'm telling you, whatever is done in secret, it will come out to the light eventually. Isn't it crazy that all these pastors, is like Satan allowed them to have their ministry all these years? Their ministries got bigger and bigger and bigger, only to be toppled from way at the top. And to take a whole bunch of people with them that are hurt. Dissolution with Christianity. Some are strong enough to say, well, you know, that's just the man. But a lot of them are not. The Bible does say that that it is better for a person to tie a millstone to their neck and then throw themselves into the water, into the lake, than to cause a little one to trip up. I walk in the fear of God. I told my wife, I need to get me like a team of people, just ask me questions on a regular basis. I need to, because I don't want to ever lead anyone astray. I am not above accountability. I have a flesh, you know, and you think, oh, the pastor, he was just so holy. We have our struggles, you know, we have our issues. So we need accountability. And I don't know why I'm spending so much time on that, but I believe that God has got to start with His church. So if He's going to expose some things, let Him, you know, expose, you know, shed the light on you. The Bible says it's better for you to fall on the rock than the rock to fall on you. Yeah. Do it the easy way, not the hard way. I'm telling you, I used to deal with pornography, and it just hindered me for so many years. And it was such an area of shame and pain to me. And when I finally revealed it to my wife, it was like, it's like the enemy had no more, you know, footing in my door, in my house, to just rob me and shame me and lie to me, you know, and God delivered me. And God's made me pure. God's given me a cleansed heart. And if He did it for me, He can do it for you. God is exposing things in America, but He's going to start with us. The church is no longer in apathy, but also cannot afford to be in apathy. He said, if we are lukewarm, he will spew us out of his mouth, and he would rather you be hot or cold. It's time to be full on for God. There are many who have been warm for some time. And I've told people, even years past, I say, you're one crisis away from falling off God. And you know what? The crisis hit. COVID hit, and some people did not make the cut. Some people have not returned. They're not watching online church. They're not coming to church in any way. They're not connected to anybody, and they're suffering. Because, well, they had the chance, and they were warned. Some of them specifically went up to them and said, this is what I'm seeing in your life. You need to get close to God. This is the time to do it. I didn't know that COVID was going to hit. But they didn't heed the warnings. But God is merciful. God is merciful. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. He says, come, let's make amends. This is the time to do it. And last point, it is time to draw close to God. Oh, it is time to draw close to God. Hallelujah. You know, look what Revelation 22:17 says. The Spirit, God himself and his church are saying, come, come. Let anyone who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty, come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. Hallelujah. I used to think that it was just saying, come, Jesus, come. No, but he's saying, come, people, come. Come and drink freely. This is the time to do it. You have a choice today to draw closer. And as you do, the world and its lies will have no effect on you. I am telling you, God will protect you when you're in the light. 1 John 2:17 says, and this world is what? Fading away along with everything that people crave. But it says, but anyone who does what pleases God will what? Will live forever. Will live forever. And as you draw to Jesus, you will have life. Even in the waiting for an answer, just like in the days of the Red Sea, where some crossed and some drowned. And when some people are able to cross through a sea, other people drowned. And you're going to be able to do that because you're close to him. Because you've tasted the goods. You've been ruined by God's love. John 6:69 says, then Jesus warned the 12 and asked, are you also going to leave? A lot of people have left Jesus because he was preaching harder topics. So he said, are you also going to leave, guys? But Simon Peter jumped in and said, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know that you are the Holy One of God. And I'm telling you, as the world is getting darker, yes, Jesus and his people are going to shine brighter. It's just natural. Hallelujah. Even in the midst of difficulty and persecution, those that are close to him will feed off the life of Jesus that emanates from his body. Hallelujah. There's a life source in Jesus. Even when the news seems dark, even when your desired outcome has not come to be, you can say like the disciples, where will we go? Only you have the words of life. I'm going to hang on to you, Jesus, with everything that I have. Nobody's going to shake me off of you. I will follow you no matter what. This is the time for the Davids to rise. Hallelujah. God is going to raise champions filled with the Holy Spirit. A bold people. In the book of Acts, they had a Stephen. And remember, Peter and John, they stood up like David. They moved in signs and wonders despite the persecutions, the beatings. But it says that they rejoice greatly. They rejoice greatly. There's going to be difficulties, but I'm telling you, when we see those Davids rise up and we're seeing like Sean Foyt, oh man, he's a David in America. Anybody seen the latest worship, you know, tour? Hallelujah. Everywhere he goes, they're saying, oh, you can't gather. Yeah. You can't, you know, be on people because he's going to become a super spreader event or something like that. But what? People are rejoicing, getting filled with the Holy Spirit, getting saved, getting baptized, getting hope in their hearts, ministering to people on the streets. You know, today I was like, should we have altar call? And I just felt like I said, you got to have an altar call. I know that the mayor already said there's a emergency declaration that we have to, you know, be very careful. But I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit says do something, you do it. You do it. Because I know that we needed, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this room. I'm spitting here. And I'm not talking about rap. I'm just spitballing him. Hallelujah. The Bible says that we're not those who shrink back. We're not going to be the ones that go like, oh, this is too difficult. No, we're going to lean into it. We know in whom we have believed. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's going to see us to the other side. Hallelujah. He showed me, oh, we're like in the days of Noah. Genesis 6, 11 through 12. It says, "Now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence. God observed all this corruption in the world, for everyone on earth was corrupt." Ooh, it was a crazy time of the, in those days of Noah. Hallelujah. But then, let's fast forward to the faith chapter. Hebrews 11, it says, "It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before." And just like today, these are unprecedented times. There is no manual for COVID. Nobody told me, this is how you're going to handle racial tensions as a pastor. This is how you're going to handle COVID. This is how you're going to handle an election and the divisions and all that. These are unprecedented times like there were in the times of Noah. But it says, "By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world. By the righteousness that he lived, by his faith, and stepping forward to build the ark." Amen. Biblical historians say that it took 55 to 75 years to build it. You think that there's a waiting in that? And people are mocking him? There's no flood. You are nuts. Some of you that haven't read that passage, go watch Evan Almighty. At least you'll get the present-day version of that. Mocking Evan, you know. But yeah, it was a waiting. And I'm sure at the times they were thinking, is this really going to happen?
Yeah.
Is he going to do what he said? But it says he kept moving forward. He kept moving forward. You know, he kept drawing closer to God. Hallelujah. And then only that. Then he, once the floods came, it took 40 days and 40 nights. All that waiting with all those animals. Hallelujah. And then it says total, let me see the numbers here. 370 days they spent in the ark. 370 days, that's over a year. Come on, people. We can wait.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Listen, God is building the church into an ark, a boat that is very robust, and those that come into it will be saved. God is calling us to be busy even before judgment day comes. As the days grow darker, we're to continue to build the church. We're not going to stop and wonder, well, I guess we'll wait until the elections. No, we can't wait. We're going to continue to disciple. We're going to continue to preach the word. We're going to continue to baptize people. We're going to continue to lay hands on the sick. We're going to continue to reach out. We got Thanksgiving boxes and Christmas boxes, and we have, you know, outreaches and events. We're going to do it. The church never stops. We're an awakened church. Hallelujah. We have much work to do. We're to be busy until His return. We're ever closer to His return. Hallelujah. As we obey God in this mandate, something that has never happened before, many are going to scoff. Many are going to mock. There's a lot of people mocking the prophets because, well, didn't the prophet say this was going to happen? Didn't the prophet say it was going to happen? And they're like throwing it in their face. You are a false prophet and this and that and Christianity this, Christianity that. You know, but a prophet's got to say what God's saying. It is a showdown. It is a showdown. Will the real God stand up? And I'm telling you, God is going to come and His glory is going to fill the earth like the waters cover the seas. Hallelujah. Our faith will condemn the world. Our faith will condemn the world. Oh, Hebrews says that the world was not worthy of them. Hallelujah. The ark is a type of Jesus. Everybody that is in the ark is saved. Everybody that is in the ark gets saved. I want to ask you, are you in the boat today? Are you anxious? Are you in the boat today? Because God is a God of process. And He's building the eternal into you even as we await the desired outcomes. The animals got a little stinky. You know? Running a zoo gets old. But I'd rather be in the boat. I'd rather be in the boat with the animals than be out there where people are drowning. And I finish with this. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people." I think I need to say that for someone here today. The grace of God has appeared for you. It offers salvation to all people. Not just the churchy people, the good people, or whatever you think that may be. This is for all people. John chapter 3 says, to whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. And then it says here, this same grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. We will not go back to the old church. We were not going to go back to the normal. There's a new era. There's a new normal on how to live for Christ. The church is no longer in apathy. We're awakened. And we're going to move forward. We're going to serve God like never before. And I'm telling you, the grace and the power of God are going to meet us right along with it, because it's a special time. We cannot be in a state of revival without the Spirit of God. We cannot manufacture it. We can't make it happen. We've been praying about it for years and years and years. But when it hits, it's God. And God has His ways and His processes, but He's doing it. It says, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-control, upright, and godly lives in this present age. We can do it, people. We can live for Jesus the way it's supposed to be lived. And then what does it say? Well, we what? Wait for the blessed hope. There's a waiting that happens. The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says He's going to dry every tear from our eyes. There will be no longer sickness or pain. How many of you have sicknesses and aches and pain? Come on. I'm 46 now. I'm starting to get there. I'm starting to get aches. Some of them I've done to myself for going to the gym with Chris, you know, but I have vascular problems in one leg and my eyes, and I got bifocals. It's like, it's happening. I had like a little mini life, you know, midlife crisis yesterday. I was like, oh man, I'm getting old. I was like, oh. But when we get to heaven, the Bible says He's going to give us a glorified body. Hallelujah. You talk about superheroes. He's going to give us you can be able to fly. Jesus was able to go through walls. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God's going to give you an amazing body in heaven. I don't know exactly what it's going to be like, but I know you're going to be perfectly happy. No more pain. No more unrest. No more elections. You know? No more rent. No more mortgages. No more deployments. Thank you, veterans. You used to hear like, yeah, I deployed once in my 20-year career. And I was like, how many times have you deployed? Like, 7 times. It's like they have all kinds of deployments. Now there's shorter ones too, but still, that's a lot of deployment. Yeah, that's going to be done away with. But my question remains, are you in the boat? Have you put on Jesus? I know you're in the church today, but are you in Jesus? Is Jesus in you? This is a time to get in the boat. Hallelujah. As I said, you build it, they will come. Hallelujah. Jesus is the ark. He died on the cross so that people would come.